ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 1, Text 39, The Activities of Maharaj Priyavarta. Translation. There are many famous verses regarding Maharaj Priyavarta's activities. No one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do what Maharaj Priyavarta had done. Maharaj Priyavarta dissipated the darkness of night, and with the rays of his great chariot, he excreted the seven oceans. I know you can only see the first half of it. It's the translation, there is only the first line. So I'll read this again. There are many famous verses regarding Maharaj Priyavarta's activities. And these are the activities. No one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do what Maharaj Priyavarta has done. Maharaj Priyavarta dissipated the darkness of night with the rim of his great chariot. He excavated the seven oceans. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki There are many excellent verses famous all over the world concerning the activities of Maharaj Priyavarta. He is so celebrated that his activities are compared to those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes a sincere servant and devotee of the Lord is also called Bhagwan. Sri Narad is called Bhagwan, and Lord Shiva and Vyasdev are also sometimes called Bhagwan. This designation Bhagwan is sometimes conferred upon a pure devotee by the grace of the Lord, so that he will be very highly esteemed. Maharaj Priyavarta was such a devotee. ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य जनञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभिस्तां स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मायं ददाति स्वयं तदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतपदाकमलं श्रीगुरुं सुवैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सह विजातं सहगुण रघुनाथं पितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं साद्भूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगुण ललिता श्रीविशाखां तं। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिककान्ता राधाकान्ता नमस्ते। तप्तकञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दवनेश्वरी विश्वांसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिके। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। वंशकल्पतरुभयश्च कृपा सिन्धुरेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी गोना बी टॉकिंग अबाउट महाराज प्रियव्रत। I think it's almost one or two slokas left. So it is pointed out that what Maharaj Priyavarta did was almost impossible for a human being to do. His activities were just like what the Supreme Personality would do. What he did basically was, there's one sun and there's winter and summer. So what he did was, because it was getting too cold on the other side, he created another sun to make sure there was heat, warm all the time. And then when he created that chariot, you know, where he was pulling the, with the rim of the chariot, he created seven continents. So he divided the land by the ocean, so they were all separated. And then he also separated within the continents, he put rivers there, hills there, so that different people could live there and say, okay, you guys stay there, you stay there. Question may be asked is, why wasn't there a necessity before that? Why did he have to do it? So, sometimes there is no necessity. If everybody is cooperating nicely, then there is no need for it. But when there is conflict, when people don't follow the instructions, then something like this has to be done. So, Priyavarta had 10 sons, and then he gave each of his sons one of those each continents. And the other three sons, they became sannyasis. In the beginning, if you read from the beginning of the this particular chapter where he's talking about Priyavarta, initially Narad Muni came to preach to him. Narad Muni is his guru. And then he wanted him to be, don't get married, basically dedicate his whole life to Krishna consciousness. He said, why do you want to entangle into it? And Priyavarta agreed with that, because he was a Paramahamsa, right? Paramahamsas don't want to get involved in all these materialistic activities. But then Brahma came. Now Brahma is guru of Narada Muni, he's the father of Narada Muni, so he's also his spiritual master. And they both paid respect to him. And when Brahma said that Priyavarta to get married, become a king and rule the world, right, Then he agreed on it. So the question might be asked is, or the doubt may arise is that why somebody who is a pure devotee got entangled into all this married life, king, he enjoyed the world, everything like that. Why do you have to, you know, even he says later or sometimes in the papers that he felt like he was playing in the hands of his wife like a monkey. Right? Because that's what marriage life is, right? You have to listen to your wife, you know. Right? He said, why did you do that, you know? Somebody agrees with me. So, that's what married life is, because that's where all the facilities are there for sense enjoyment. Right? Sense enjoyment basically means you are getting away from Krishna, because enjoyment is for yourself. But for somebody like Priyavarta, or for a devotee of Krishna, even though he was in that situation, it looked like he was enjoying, but what he was actually doing was his duty. So there's a difference between doing his duty and being in that situation. Right? Most of us are there for sense enjoyment. Right? We get married because we want, you know, better house, you know, how beautiful wife, you know, kids, you know, lots of money, you know, to enjoy. But his situation was different. He didn't want any of those. He only did it because Brahma asked him to do it. So the point here is that a devotee is never attracted by all of these things. It is just like he is doing his duty. Right? So because once you have taken shelter of Krishna, when you have accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, once you become fully Krishna conscious, then you never forget Krishna. Then you start seeing things differently. You see, generally, when you devotees, they see two things in two different ways. We cook at home and then we offer it to Krishna. Isn't that right? Whatever we want, we cook, we offer it to Krishna. But when you keep doing this and you get purified and you become like Prabhupada, you know, who cooks at the temple, you know, he cooks what Krishna wants. Do you see? So if you put Krishna first, then whatever you do, it becomes more solid. So if you are doing something, you know, for example, I want to go and address the deities here. Right? For example, I'm good, and there's lots of people there, or any particular service, you're cooking or something, you know, and then or you're giving classes or something, or you're doing just worshiping Prabhupada. You know. What you do is rather than I want to do it. And if you see what Prabhupada would want to do, what Krishna wants to do it, and then do it, then it becomes more better. So this is the mentality of the gopis. Right? They don't say that what I want to do. They want to see what Krishna wants to do. What will please Krishna most. And this is why they keep pushing Radharani in front. Right? So this is what we have to start thinking, you know, we started to develop, right? Should I do it or somebody do it who can please better? Right? So when you're doing kirtan and things like that, you know, it's even when you're doing kirtan, you know, sometimes we do kirtan, we have different tunes and things like that because I like it that way, you know. You listen to a kirtan from somebody who's not a devotee because it's all musical, everything is in tune and everything like that, right? Is it better than listening to a pure devotee who might not have all the tunes and everything? So sincerity is more important than that. If you have both, it's better. So when you actually chant for Krishna or do kirtan, the reason for all the tunes, the musical thing, is that because it pleases Krishna. That should be that. It's not that because I like it. So we have to get that I thing out of the situation as much as possible. You know, whatever service you're doing, think about what would Krishna like. You know, you're cooking, you know, okay, the weather is cold, you know, what would Krishna like? You know? So when you see this, then you slowly and slowly, when you are actually dealing with household items, then you can, you know, even your wife and children, and say, what would Krishna like? So rather than that in mind, you see them as Krishna's. And then you don't get entangled into that. The house belongs to Krishna. certain things, the direct service is very easy when we chant. You know, we know we are doing chanting Krishna's name. But also when you chant, why you are chanting? Once I asked the devotee, you know, he has been here for a long time, and he was chanting, he said, why do you chant, you know? He said, so that I can get purified, I can get all the sins. I'm so sinful, Prabhupada said, you know. So that's one way of doing it. But the right way to think is that this pleases Krishna. Maha Mantra is Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna. When you chant Krishna's name, Radha Rani becomes pleased. When you chant Radha's name, Krishna becomes pleased. And that's something, basically that's why we chant. So if you chant with that mentality, then the chanting becomes much more pure. And if you are doing it for them, then you focus more. You concentrate more because you are trying to please somebody. Just like when the Guru Maharaj comes, in a very easy example. You see all the disciples running around, getting the best items and everything to please him. Make sure the cooking is right, the things is done on time, everything is right. Isn't that right? Right? So it's same thing. Now if you focus there and say that, okay, if we can do it for our Guru Maharaj, we do the same thing to Krishna when we chant, we do with the same focus because we are trying to please him, then the chanting becomes much, much powerful. Then you start seeing things at home, you know, everything belongs to Krishna. How can I use this in Krishna's service? So this is the most important thing. Here also it says that Srila Prabhupada says, try to end. Sometimes devotees are called Bhagwan, right? So Bhagwan has the seven qualities. So just like Vyasa. Vyasa is a Jiva Atma like me and you. Brahma is like Jiva Atma, Devi. Narad Muni is saintly, he is a Jiva. But he has been empowered by Krishna to do certain activities. So same thing here, Prabhupada is a living entity like me and you, but he has been empowered to do. How can somebody create another sun? You know, we can't even tolerate a little bit of heat when the sun is so far away. Now you create another sun to create heat, and he was actually riding it. No. So this is the power of the devotees. They can do anything that Krishna wants to them. Because they are actually surrendered to him, then Krishna can use them to do that. You know? Priyavarta is one of those examples. Yudhishthira Maharaj was saying to him, they were so powerful, you know, they had no desire, you know, all they wanted to be with said Krishna. You know? But then they accepted the kingdom. They had a big fight because that's what Krishna wanted. Right? And then in the end, when Krishna left, without any attachment, they gave everything up. They gave everything to Parikshit Maharaj and then said, okay, this is it, let's go. You know? So that's the mood, because there the whole purpose was how to please Krishna. Do whatever they want. So we have to start thinking our life like this, you know. What would Krishna want? Rather than what I want and take it to Krishna, you know, rather than doing Karam Yoga, you do it the other way and it becomes Bhakti Yoga, pure, you know. Rather than mixed, it becomes pure. Because when you say what Krishna wants, then everything is to please Krishna. And then you don't get entangled in it, you know. You see things differently. You see everybody is devotees or non-devotees. But they all belong to Krishna. So you preach to the non-devotees, you know. You avoid the ones who are envious of Krishna, because by actually preaching to them, they become more envious or commit more offenses, you know. This is also a kind of preaching. Leave those who are envious, because the more you preach to them, the more offenses they create and the further they go away from you. So this is what you can do. So I was thinking, you know, today's class, how one can get to what get to the level of what Prabhupada is, right? So how do you do that? We go back to our parampara, right? Who is the leader of the parampara? Actually Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? But he has given that authority to Rupa Goswami, right? And Srila Prabhupada has taken all those things, right, and put it in the books, you know. So what has Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give, or what has Srila Rupa Goswami has given us. It is not just going to go to Bhakti Godhead. It's about Braj Bhakti. So this is our goal. This is what we inherited by being ISKCON, by being in the movement of Srila Prabhupada. So how do you get to that? So the first stage is that, the first and most important thing is that you need mercy of Krishna. The main course of attaining Krishna prayer is mercy of Lord Krishna. Because unless we get mercy of Krishna, we cannot get mercy of the spiritual master. By mercy of Krishna, you get spiritual master. By mercy of the spiritual master, you get Krishna. Right? So first thing is somehow or the other, we get mercy of Krishna. Then, as a super soul, Krishna directs you to a pure devotee, whom you can take shelter of and go. And this doesn't happen all the time. Because a song when the spiritual master comes, you know, when the pure devotee comes, that reaches to so many people. You know, there's so many people there. When Prabhupada was on this planet, he was preaching. So many people came. He was doing kirtan in the parks and places like that. They used to do Harinam and, you know, like that. They still do. But how many of them, they become devotees? So everybody does not get the mercy. So first thing is you get the mercy of the mercy of Krishna. Right? So that's the most important thing. Once you get the mercy of Krishna, then you get association of the devotees, sadhu sangha. So sadhu sangha is the most important thing after you get mercy of the spiritual master, because the sadhus know what Krishna wants. They are the ones. So it is very important to have association of devotees. It's probably the most important thing, because when you have association of devotees, then all the rest of the things happen automatically. You listen to the holy name of the Lord, just like we do kirtan. You actually listen to the katha, you know, you listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, right? You get to sit in the temple and worship the deities, you know, deity worship, right? You go on a pilgrimage, you know, to the holy dham and places like that. You know? So all those five main essential part is actually covered. So the first thing is mercy of the Lord. Then the second thing is meditation. So when you have mercy of the Lord, you have association of devotees. And what do the devotees tell you? They speak about Radha Krishna's Braj pastime. Not all the pastimes. Mostly Braj pastime. This is I'm talking about mostly Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Right? Braj means either Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes or Radha Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Right? So how do you meditate on this? Right? So first thing is, you have to know what words are. So there's two ways. You can either read about it or you can listen from it. Right? So meditation is important. So what kind of pastimes should we listen to? So if you are listening to katha, you know, from our movement, well, I'll give you an example. Okay, Kartik is coming next month, right? So it's Kartik time, you know, you meditate on the pastimes of Damodar, right? So Damodar has two particular pastimes, you know, we have had this many times, you know, you meditate on him, right? Okay, Krishna has been stealing butter all the time, right? So, and he's little, you know, so he goes and steals butter, and sometimes he gets caught, right? So one time he was stealing butter, and there was a khamba, what do you call it?
Pillar.
There was a pillar there, right? So there in Vrindavan, everything is made from metal, sorry, gems, right? And in gems you can see reflection on it, right? So he is stealing butter, and then he gets caught by Mother Yashoda, right? So his hand is in the matka, you know, right? And Mother Yashoda comes, right? And then he looks at him, right? At his reflection, and he says, Mother Yashoda, it wasn't me, it was him, you know. He wanted butter, so I wanted to feed him some, you know. So Krishna does this, talking about his own reflection, you know. But he's like a little kid, you know. Sometimes he has his hand there, he says, oh, my hand got bent, you know, so I was just cooling it in butter, you know, because this is what we used to do before, you know. Somebody gets bent, you know, this is, I know, yeah, you put makhan on it, right? Now we put water in everything, and I realized once my cousin got banned, you know, he was chomping some dal and the whole thing came on him, you know how hot that is, right? And we just put ghee on him, right? Butter on his chest, you know. It was very sore and I could see how much pain, but no blisters came out of that. You know, and I realized, you know, what we're doing is right. You put it in the water, blisters come, but it doesn't hurt that much. So it's immediate relief, but long term, it's not good. The other one, long term, you don't have any blisters, but immediately you might suffer some pain. So Krishna does lots of pastimes like this. You know, he starts stealing butter, makhan and things like that. And the gopis come and complain, you know, to Yashodamaya. The thing is that, so why? The gopis wanted Krishna to come to their place. But why did they complain? Right? Because they were thinking, you know, Mother Yashoda misses out all these funds. We can see Krishna, how he comes and steals, you know, how clever he is like that, you know. But Mother Yashoda misses all this. So let us go and tell him all those things. You know? And then Krishna is sitting next to him, listening to then what all the things that he has done. And he's just like innocent. And Mother Yashoda looks at him and says, he can't do that, you know. He's my lady child. He's not even big enough to do that, you know. So Mother Yashoda was thinking, you know, this is not good, you know. Today he is stealing bada, you know. Tomorrow he might steal somebody's wife, and, you know. So I have to teach him, you know. Right? But first thing is that looks like the bada we make at home is not of good quality, you know. So Mother Yashoda changes the bada, you know, herself, you know, she milks the cows, makes, rather than getting this maid servant to actually do that, she's doing it herself, you know. She's chanting about Krishna. Krishna is sleeping in there, you know. Right? He wakes up. He cries just like any little kids cry, you know. But Mother Yashoda is so engrossed in her thinking about the pastime of Krishna, she doesn't listen, you know. So finally he comes, he calls over Yashoda Maya, you know, and then he starts setting with Mother Yashoda leaves everything, you know. And then there's milk on the fire and it starts overflowing, you know. The milk is silky because in Golok Vrindavan, you know, everything is silky, everything is consciousness. The milk is also conscious, you know. The tree, stone, everything is conscious, you know. So the devotees don't care what they become, whether it's a stone or a bed or a chair or whatever, you know, as long as it is, it pleases Krishna. But it's nothing wrong in becoming a monkey of Krishna or a cow of Krishna or, you know, a buffalo of Krishna, you know. Yeah. As long as that pleases Krishna. So Krishna actually, the milk is overflowing, you know, so Yashodamaya leaves him because that milk is for Krishna and he goes to actually take it. And the milk thinks, you know, whatever I've done, Mother Yashoda was saving him so nicely because of my own ego, you know, I've stopped that service, you know. I might as well commit suicide basically, you know, so it just trying to overflow into it, you know, and then it goes down itself and it realizes the offense he has created. Krishna, what he does is, you know, he gets angry just like a little kid, you know, but you think Mother Yashoda thinks that milk is more important than me, you know. Okay, I'm gonna punish her, you know. So he takes a stone and breaks the matka, you know, and everything goes all over the place. Right? And then kids do mistakes, and then once it's done, it's too late, and then they realize, you know, oh, whatever done, you know. So he runs over there. But he's still angry, you know, because he's not full yet, right? He's still hungry, he wants more. Right? But he's a little kid, so he just runs through where all the bada was done. So he has footprints all over the place, and when you look at that, you can know, you know, which way he's going. So he leaves his, and then he goes there, gets more makhan, eats himself, gives it to the monkeys, you know. He loves feeding the monkeys because they are his friends, you know. And then Mother Yashoda catches him and, you know, and eventually he runs away. Mother Yashoda chases him with a stick. Eventually he gets caught. So these are the pastimes you can actually think about meditative. But you only can do that if you are in association with devotees, if you hear it, or if you read from Srila Prabhupada. Similar, in the end, what happens is once he gets caught, then you know the ropes are 2 fingers short. Right? What does that mean?
Endeavor.
Mercy and endeavor. So again, the first thing is that we need mercy of Krishna. Right? So without mercy of Krishna, we cannot give. Right? It doesn't matter. So eventually, that's the most important ingredient. Right? But what we have to do is, we do our endeavor. We don't step on our side. It might come now, it might come this lifetime, next life, when we have a lifetime. But we should not be, you know, feeling that, oh, I should stop doing it, you know. So you do your bit and let Krishna choose to do whenever he thinks, you know. Similar thing that came was, once there was a Brahman. And now once Narada Muni was going to this spiritual world, you know, to see Brahma, to see Narayan. You know the person about the Koba and another person who makes the shoes, and there was a Rishi, right? A Muni. So he was going there, and then he said, okay, I'm going to see Narayan, let me see, take some message from some people. So he saw one Pandit, and he asked him, you know, say, I'm going to Lord Narayan, you know, do you have a message for me? He said, yeah, I would love to know how many lifetimes it's going to take me to go back, you know, how many more lifetimes I have left to go, you know. And then he went further up, and then he saw a koba sitting under a tree, you know, a banyan tree, and he was making shoes, you know, just like people in India, people sit under there, got broken shoes, they give you 5 minutes later, they fix it and they give it to you, you know. Doesn't happen here, but it happens there, you know. Especially when I was doing birth number, you see people were, you know, it's so easy, you know. So he was there and he was saying, oh, he said, I'm going to see Lord Narayan, you know. He said, oh, such a, you are so fortunate, you know, you're going there, you know. I said, what do you want, you know? He said, just ask, you know, how many lifetimes I have got to go, you know. Yeah. So, same question, both of them. They go to Narayan Muni, goes there, and he sees Lord Narayan is there, you know, and he thinks, okay. So, he said, oh, by the way, you know, how is everything, all the formalities done. He said, by the way, you know, I've got two devotees who asked, you know, this is a Pandit who asked, you know, he knows all the Vedas, the whole script, you know, is, you know, really pakka, you know. How many lifetimes he has got to go? And he says, Narayan said, he has got 100 lifetimes. He said, 100 lifetimes. Okay. And what about the Koba and the Shoemaker? He said, this is his life, last life. And then Narayan Muni got confused, you know, he said, this is a Pandit, he knows the scriptures, he gets up in the morning, you know, does all the puja and everything. He got 100 lifetimes. And this guy who makes plays in the scheme, you know, right? And no lower kind of job, and he's got only one lifetime. He said, then Lord Narayan said, when you go and go there, he tell him, you know. When he asked the Pandit asked, he tell him, you're going to take you 100 lifetimes to go. Right? And when you go to the Koba, you tell him, it will take as many lifetimes as this tree on a banyan tree. Now, how many leaves are there? As many leaves on the banyan tree. You know how big the banyan trees are? How many leaves are there? So, Narayan Muni goes back, he sees the Pandit, and he says, oh, how many lifetimes I've got? He said, 100 lifetimes. What? 100 lifetimes? I've been so hard with all the austerities, everything in this lifetime, you know. You're going to take me another 100 lifetimes? Well, with this, you know, I might as well enjoy for 99 and do the austerity in the last one, you know. Because no one will have to do all these things for the next 99 lifetime, you know. Another one, he says, oh, okay. And then he goes to the cowboy, you know, and he says, okay, what about, you know, how was Narayan, you know. Oh, he also said that when they're going to ask you, you know, you tell them, they'll ask you what Narayan was doing. He said, he was passing a thread, an elephant, through the thread of a needle. You know, that little hole in there, you know, the eye of the needle. So he told the Pandit, and Pandit said, are you stupid? How can that be done? So he had no faith in that. So when he went to the Koba, you know, he said, what he was doing, he was passing an elephant through the needle. He says, see how great my Lord is now. What is impossible for him now? Passing an elephant through an elephant, it's not difficult. He can do anything. And Narayan said, you sure? Okay, how is that possible? Even Narada Muni is thinking, you know, how you can do that, because that's impossible, you know. And then the Kopa said, you know, he picks a seed of the banyan tree. You see how small that seed is. Krishna has put the whole tree, you see this big tree, in this particular seed. So what is impossible for him? And then he said, how many lifetime I've got? He said, as many as the leaves, you know. And he became so happy, you know. He said, at least Krishna has put my name somewhere that he's going to finish one day. I have to get out of this material world. Even though it might be millions of lifetimes. So this is the devotee. One has, he didn't care to him whatever Krishna wanted. And Krishna wanted him to stay here for 100 lives. This is the devotee, see, you know. They, pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, you know, they don't think about, I have to go back to the spiritual world. They're already in the spiritual world, even they are here. Because there are two energies, Mahamaya and Yogamaya. What is the difference between the two? It's the same energy, isn't it the same person? Yogamaya and Mahamaya is the same person. So what is the difference? The difference is how we see it. So if you see it in connection to Krishna, it's Yogamaya. If we see it as a means of our enjoyment, it's in Mahamaya. Right? So same way, we can look at the body of a person. How do we know that body is spiritualized or not spiritualized, whether it's Krishna conscious or not? So when you change Krishna's name, right, because you are connecting it to Krishna, the body becomes spiritualized. Why do we touch the feet of devotees? Why do wash the feet of the devotees? Why drink the water from there? Why do we take the remnants of that? Because that body has been spiritualized. So it's the same thing, you know. You keep, just like an iron, right? On its own, it's just an iron. But you put it connected with the fire, it becomes like fire. Right? So similarly, by keeping this energy of Krishna, right, which is, might be made of material elements, but by connecting it to Krishna all the time, it becomes spiritualized. So, by chanting, by taking prasadam, by association of the bodies, you know, by doing spiritual things, you also become spiritualized. Then all the material things go away. Then all of a sudden, we use the same thing and use it for ourselves, then it becomes materialized. So it's up to you, you know, how do you spiritualize it, materialize it. But a pure devotee, because he connects everything to Krishna consciousness, to Krishna all the time, then he is always in the spiritual. That's why we do samadhis for pure devotees. We don't, because they're pure. It's not material, it is spiritual. You know? So this is the first thing, so meditation. Before meditation, you have to understand the pastimes of Krishna. Right, so you're looking at different situations, you know, you go to, you know, you have to know all about this. Then you can only meditate about it. Right? And the second thing is, third thing is, singing about Radha and Krishna's breath pastime. So first one is to meditate. Meditation means basically you have to know, you have to listen, and then you have to tell. Right? So the situation is like that of Sukhdev Goswami, right? First one is Parikshit Maharaj, because he's listening, he is meditating on what Sukhdev Goswami is saying. And now it's Sukhdev Goswami who is singing the pastimes of the world. So again, we have to understand, right? So how do you do that? At home, giving classes, Kartik time, you know, different time when you're giving classes, you should tell pastimes of Krishna. Now, the reason I'm bringing this is that, you know, we give Bhagavatam classes and things like that, right? So if you can incorporate a small pastimes of Krishna every time, breath pastime, then you're getting people more to the level. You can't just give philosophy and things like that. This is our parampara, this is the way, this is the instruction given by Sanatana Goswami in Vriya Bhagavad Gita. Right? The verses are from, I think it's chapter 5, 215 to 223. These are the five instructions. So, incorporate a small club in there. So you just say, okay, or you can take people on program and things like that. Say, oh, I want to, let's go to Kovardhan. Right? Now you don't have to take them physically, because we have two types of body, right? The physical body, which is made of the gross thing, right? And the subtle body is mind, intelligence, and ego, right? Physical body we cannot take because we have to physically go there, right? But the subtle body, the mind can travel the speed of mind, you know, you can be there in Vrindavan if you've already been there, right? So you can say, okay, let's go to Vrindavan, right? So where are you going to start from? So where do we normally start our prakrama from?
Krishna Balam Mandir.
In Govardhan.
Govardhan.
Normally they say start from Manasikanga, right? Siddha Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutiyas. I think that's what is recommended. I have heard. So, okay, let's say we go there. So you are at Manasikanga, right? Now you can speak about Sanatana Goswami, right? You know about that past time when Sanatana Goswami was there and he was harassed by the mosquitoes, you know, and then he wanted to leave that place. And Lord Shiva came as a Brahman and told him, don't leave, you know, the mosquitoes won't bother. And they said, until today, if you stay in that area, there's no mosquitoes in there. Right? But let's, you are there, it's Manasikanga, you know. He said, okay, let's hear some pastime about Manasikanga. So Manasikanga, you know, the pastime about the boatman. Yeah? So this boatman, right, one day, so when we go there, we see Manasikanga is very small, right? But Manasikanga is very big. So the gopis wanted to go across Manasikanga and they could not go around it, they had to go across it because that's how big it is, right? And they needed a boatman to cross it because I think Durvasa Muni was there, am I right? And they had to take him, give him some milk products. That was just an excuse, you know. The excuse was the, my reason was there, we'll go there, we'll let Krishna know he's coming in there. So they go there and there's this boatman, you know, he's lying down there. They look around, his boat is pretty old, you know, and he's all rugged up, it doesn't look very good, you know. So they're looking around for another boatman, they can't find it, and finally he's the only one, you know. They wake up, hey, blah, 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 can you take me across the other side, you know? And then he says, no, I can't tell you, too many of you, you know, got too much stuff, my boat is old, you know, you're gonna ride, you know, why you have to take me, you know. And then finally they convince him, you know. He said, okay, okay, I'll take you, you know. So they put everything in the boat, you know, they get into the boat, and Krishna says, you know, I don't know whether you're gonna walk or not, but you know, I'll try my best, you know. So yeah, yeah, okay. So they go there in a little bit, and the water starts coming inside, and then everybody gets scared. Hey, the water is coming, I'm gonna drown, I'm gonna feel. So he says, I told you my boat is old, you know, what are you gonna do? And he says, okay, throw all the milk product out, you know. So they throw everything out, you know. Everything is in the water, you know. The water is still coming out, you can throw the water out, they're taking out there, you know, they're getting scared now, you know. And then there's a storm comes in there, the waves comes in to make it much, much worse, you know. And they're getting more scared. The Krishna said, take all the jewelries out, they're too heavy, you know, they're throwing all the jewelries out, you know. And then he said, okay, no, take your clothes out, you know. And the gopi says, oh, okay, you, Baba, you know who you are, you know. And then they find his fruit, you know. Then they know it's Krishna. As soon as they find out it's Krishna, everything goes away, everything becomes clear, the boat becomes perfect, you know. And they have a nice pastime in there. So where did this happen?
Manasikanga.
You know, where is Manasikanga? So without you being there, you are just there. Right. So we can take people like that, you know. Right? So you can sing the pastimes about that. You can take people physically if you can, or you can take them mentally there. Right? But you only can do this if you know the pastimes of the book. Right? So again, read Prabhupada's book, Reid Goswami's books, you know, head association of devotees. We are so fortunate, you know, we have got such nice devotees now, you know, with so, such nice pastimes, you know. But this is important. The important thing is that if you want to get the maximum out of what our parampara is offering, we have to connect to Prajapati. We have to sing about the pastimes, we have to meditate about the pastimes and things like that. And then, the most important thing is the association. So these two will happen if you have association of praying bhaktas, not like any bhaktas. So what kind of devotees you should associate? There might be lots of devotees, you know. It doesn't mean that only devotees in Iskcon are the only devotees. Other paramparas don't have devotees. You go to other temples, they don't have devotees. They have devotees, you know. Sri Sampradaya, very nice devotees, you know. And they are worshippers of Krishna. But it's the mood same. That is the important thing. So you have to find devotees who are like-minded. And they have to be more advanced than you, so that you can actually get information from them. So this is very important, right? So you can talk about past times, you know, just like, you know, probably what happened, you went there, you know, what did you get, how do you understand this, you know, like that, you know, how do you understand? So association is the most important thing, because if you have the association, then everything, but association of a premi bhakta, which is like, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, our spiritual. So we are very fortunate that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has many devotees like this, you know. And we have to get the association. And then, residence. Right? It says alone in Prindavan. Right? Why does it say alone? Because again, when you are in Vrindavan, you know, it's just like going from one place to another place with a group of people, you know. Sometimes it just becomes, the mood is not right, you know. So when you are going alone, you know, you go to, for example, Amitala. You sit down there and you chant, you know. No one is there to bug you because you are alone. And then you can meditate on the pastime of the Lord. You know, what is one of the mind pastimes or one of the pastimes that actually relates to our sampradayas? You know, one of the last things that Krishna did before he left for Mathura was at Amitala. You know that pastime? So I'll tell you the pastime that led to this, right? So we're talking about pastimes, so let's, you know. So Krishna and Radha were sitting together. This is the story about Prem Sarovar. You know the pastime about Prem Sarovar? Okay. So Krishna and Radha were sitting there together. And then, because their body is so fragrant, you know, all the fragrance that comes, that we can smell in flowers and everything, it comes from Radha and Krishna. Right? So, and what is the most fragrance? Comes from the mouth of Radha and Krishna. So there's a bumblebee, the king of bumblebees. So he is trying to, he smells the fragrance, right? And then, you know, off they go to where the most fragrance, the fragrance is nectar, right? So he goes there and finally he gets to this kund where Radha and Krishna is there, right? Then he sees Radha and Krishna, right? So he finds out where is the most fragrance. So he stands right in front of Radharani's face, right? So it's Radharani's face, right? So it means Radharani has more fragrance than Krishna, right? Okay? And Radharani is getting scared, you know? So, Madhumangal is there. Right? So Madhumangal is saying this, you know, king of the bees is disturbing them, right? So let's get them out of the place. So he goes and chases the king of the bees, right? The bumblebee, right? He takes him out, right? Then he comes back and declares, you know, Madhusudan is born. Now, who is Madhusudan? And Madhu also means, Madhusudan is also the name of the bumblebee. But what is the Radharani is, you know? Krishna is called. Now Krishna is sitting next to her, right? And she says Krishna is gone. She doesn't see, you know, and then as soon as she says this, Krishna is gone, the tears starts flowing from her eyes. And Krishna is saying, wow, this is bad, you know. just by hearing that I am born, how bad is it? Tears starts coming and then Krishna starts crying, and the tears of both of them actually make that prayer so well. You know, so it's, and then Krishna is thinking, you know, I have to go, you know. This is every pastime, you know. I have to love, live Vrindavan, and I have to go to Mathura, you know. And if this girl, Sri Radhika, is so attached to me now, just me even sitting next to her, and just by hearing that I'm born, her state is so bad, what's going to happen when I actually leave? And he's thinking now, the longer I stay there, the more she's going to get attached to me, and the suffering will be much, much more. So after that last time, he gets up and he goes to the place of Vrindavan, and he's sitting there under the tree and he's thinking about Radharani. He gets so engrossed in Radharani that his color becomes golden. Right? And who is golden?
Mahaprabhu.
So Krishna becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Radharani comes there, he sees, follows him there, he sees there. And he says, who are you? It's my Shyam, but what happened to your Kala, you know, what happened to Shyam? So that's the last pastime sitting there. So if you are in Kala, you are sitting there, and you can think about that pastime, this is what happened. So if you know this pastime, when you go to the Dham, you can actually meditate on all those pastimes. And then you think about, you know, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why he came here. You know, why is Radharani Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Kala golden? You know what? Because they say, one of the reasons, there might be more than one reason, is that Radharani knew when, because Krishna wanted to actually accept the mood of Radharani. She wanted to know what Radharani goes through when she sees Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, you know, when she serves Krishna, you know, all the bliss she gets, you know. And she knows that when it's going to happen, you know, Shyam won't be able to take it, you know. What's going to happen? He's going to fall, boom, you know. And this is what happens. He jumps, you know, when they're doing kirtan at Srinivas Acharya's place, you know, Krishna is falling all the time, you know, on the ground. You know. And Sachi Mata could not accept this, you know, could not see her son. It was every time Krishna was falling, it was just like a heart going to break, you know. So she was given the boon that every time she sees Chaitanya Mahaprabhu falls down on the ground, she doesn't see it. So she doesn't feel it. So what Radharani did is, he said, every time you're going to fall, I'm going to give you my rung, you know, my fungus, then I'm going to protect you, so that your body does not get hurt, you know, because Krishna's body is so soft, you know. He says, like butter soft, you know. He said, you know, when you look at, just like springtime now, right, new buds are coming, right, and those buds, the top bit is a reddish in color. There's the softest one, right? They're so soft. You know. Even that, when Krishna is to go in the forest and they will touch on Krishna's body, it will create, you know, marks on there, scratches on there. That's how soft Krishna's body is. You know. So when you're serving Krishna, you know, when you're doing that, you should think like that, you know, because they're not different, you know. His body is so soft, so be more gentle, you know, how you bathe the body, you know, when you're, you know, wiping his face, and you know, how soft it is, you know, just be gentle, you know, try to get the best clothing, soft clothes and things like that. If you need it at home, you know, you should meditate on that. You know, don't treat it like it's made of, you know, brass or whatever, you know. This is our Lord, you have to think like that, you know. So, these are the pastimes you can actually see, and this, you can do this by the association of devotees. But it has to be association, and then then the next one is the residence, right? Alone in Vrindavan. So this is the main point. When you go there, you'll be able to do all those things. If you go with a group of people, and even when you go with a group of people, you go with a family, and they take a day off. You say, okay, I just want to go and visit somewhere. Go and sit down there and actually think about the pastimes of that. And you pray to the Dham, because all these places are personalities. They are not He just said, Manasi Ganga is one. The Manasi Ganga is a person. Radha Kund is a person. So when you go there, you pray to them, please, you know, those pastimes that happen in here, please, you know, put it in my heart so that I can always meditate on it. And the last one is the most important, which is called humility. If there is no humility, there is no bhakti. As soon as humility leaves your heart, bhakti leaves out. So they are close friends. So humility basically means that I'm the most humble. Trinada Pisunisena, Dharavavi Sayyidu. So you have to be more humble than a blade of grass. Why blade of grass? Because everyone walks on it, it doesn't comply. Right? You have to be more tolerant as a tree, because tree sits there, rain, you know, whatever, hay stays there, doesn't complain. People cut their branches, it gives you, still gives you shade, gives you fruits, gives you residence to living entities and things like that. So humility is very important. As soon as you think, when somebody says something to you, and say, Prabhu, you did this, you know, or complains to you, criticizes you, right? And you think, oh, who is he to tell me that? I had one devotee, you know, he was not too long ago, you know, I was trying to convince him, you know, you should be humble. But he was complaining that how he listened so he can get the message. He was complaining that, you know, this person always complains about me, he says this thing, that thing about me, you know, who is he to correct me? You know? If he is doing it himself, then who is he to correct me? He should fix his own problem first, then he. So it's saying, what you are basically saying is, I'm better than the other person. Then I don't want to listen to that person. Humility means that you have to take the lower position. Then you can learn from anyone. Basically, you know, you can learn from anyone. You know, you can walk on the street and look at a tree and you see all the leaves are falling and then you say, oh, the tree is dying. You say, this is what can happen to me. So you can get a lesson from anywhere. You look at all the cold, you know, it's going on, it's very cold, you can get a lesson, you know. If you're in the Makri road, this is what is going to happen. You know? This does, this is Devi, what do you call it? The
Trita.
Yeah, the three, yeah. What was the last one? Devi?
Adi.
Adi, yeah. So from Adi, you know, from the Devi course, the cold, the heat, and all those things. So any situation, you, if you are surrendered, you can actually get knowledge from. So humility is very important. You look at, you don't have to go too far away. You look at prayers of Srila Prabhupada, how humble he is. The prayers he wrote just before he went to America, Krishna, I have no ability. I don't know why you brought me here. If you want to make me dance, please make me dance. You make me speak so that these people can understand it. I don't have our ability. But the truth is that, what do we have? You know? Somebody might say, oh, it was a very nice class. You know? The intelligence by which I'm speaking through is Krishna's intelligence. This body, which is the external energy of Krishna, you know, it's Krishna's. This mic, everything belongs to Krishna. The sound system that we are using, everything belongs to Krishna. So where am I? What have I done? All I have done is, I've said in this body that Krishna is using. So that is Krishna's mercy. He is using something that he is temporarily given to me to use. Does that make sense? Right. So we can't claim that everything. I was just thinking on my way here, I was thinking how to pass this point to understand that everything belongs to Krishna, nothing belongs to us. And I was thinking, you know, the children and everybody, how to see your wife, the house, and the kids, mostly your immediate family members, you know, that nothing belongs to you. And just because a child is conceived in the womb of a mother, and say, mother says, this is my child, you know. But the soul is eternal, it's never born, it's always there. So, how can it be born? So, it's like, for example, I own a taxi, you know. I was just thinking about this, you know. And then somebody comes and sits in the taxi, you know. Right? So I drive him from one place to another place. Now, does that mean that whoever sitting in the taxi belongs to me? I can do whatever they want. Isn't that what it is? You know? For a period of time, they come into our life and we think they belong to us. But the truth is, they are just passing through. Life after life, you know, according to the desire. You know? And we are just together for that period of time. So as you are not attached to the passengers in the taxi, when you are a taxi driver, you should not be attached to anybody. In our house, it's the same situation. The time might be long ago. The truth is that they are there according to your karma. At the time of death, right, the living entity has a desire. According to the desire, he has a particular type of mind. Because mind is where the desires are fulfilled, right? From that the senses are created, and from that the gross body is created, right? So, all that has to finish. So, you are there, living entity, ready to take birth, and there's somebody the other side who wants a child, and it fits him, and that's it. Right? Next life, next child, it could be somebody else. So, they are just there going through their phase of life. They are part of you. But if you understand they are part of Krishna, they are actually his devotees, you should actually help them out of you, then that's a different thing. You know? But if you think that their mind is wife is mine because I have, you know, for my enjoyment, they have to be subservient to me. No, they should be subservient to Krishna. If you're subservient to Krishna, then everything is okay. The central point is Krishna, then everything is okay. Otherwise, if I want to be the master of the house, wife wants to be the master of the house, the child wants to be the master of the house, then it's all, you know, collisions in there. So you have to be humble, you know, accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accept that everybody is devotees. Everybody gonna go home one day, some gonna take longer, somebody, if you can help them get to their home quicker, much, much better, you know. If you can't, just leave them alone, you don't make the situation worse. You know, as I was saying, you don't listen to the people who don't, you know, have to envious of Krishna. And if somebody is looking to go there, if somebody wants to go to Vrindavan, and you say, hey, oh, I know where it is, let's go here. And somebody doesn't want to go there, you can't force them to go there. Right? But we always have to realize that at the end of the day, it's what Krishna wants. Okay. So these are the 5 points, you know, if you actually want to get the maximum of what our sampradaya offers is, first thing is that you need the mercy of Krishna. Second is that you meditate in the pastimes of Krishna. Once you meditate, you have to actually have sadhu sangha in your association, and then you glorify Krishna. And the more you talk about Krishna, you'll be amazed, you say things that you don't realize, you know. And it's not because it's the super soul that's talking, you know. Association is the most important, but association of premi bhaktas, like-minded, is the important thing, right? So it's not association. Residence, either you reside there physically or you reside there mentally. So, my always this, from when I was young, I always had this desire, I wanted to do Brahmandal. One of the reasons was that, so I could actually go to these places, know where the pastimes could take, and then I could sit down and actually meditate. You know? It's like Kandira Prayer, every time I think of Kandira Prayer, this is where Lord Krishna and Radha and Krishna got married. You know? So I can still picture it, I'm sitting in there, Radha Krishna is there, Brahma is there. There's a pool there, and it's Krishna actually, very cool. He actually, there was no water, so he dug a pool out of his basuri from his bed. And you can think about it, so you are there. You know? Because just like when somebody is doing service there, you know, somebody is doing arti, he may not be physically doing it, because he's doing. If you really look at it, he's just doing it mechanically, he's doing this with his gross body. But we can do it with our senses. We can say, like, you know, shaking, you know, like that. We can do it in manasi puja. No, things like that. Thik, so we're going to stop here today. Any comments? Any? I should be saying questions here a little more. qualify with anything.
I said, you spoke with them last week, and this past time you spoke about nutrition. Sometimes we look at the deity, we see the deities in our temple, so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But when we actually see the Prabhupada, you know, some of these deities are so beautiful. But more so than looking at the deities, some of you not actually see the deities the way we see it. Because they actually have the way to understand what the form of the deity is. So more than actually seeing the deities, to understand what they are by hearing. So when you tell the stories last time about Radha Krishna, like you may be very selective to tell the stories to whoever may be able to understand that. You don't tell the stories to people who don't understand. So actually, in Krishna's service, they don't just go with it. They are a realization of the yogi. And the more the advancement of the yogi is when we can actually appreciate that in Krishna's standing, and it's not just a statue.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's not a yogi, they will say like that. But we know, you know, it's like you just said, the woman on the body of the family, a very good example of the taxi. And Krishna is looking, and he's speaking to us through his voice. What we can be for our own advantage. So what you said is so nice that, you always be classless, but you actually catch them the stories of Krishna. And it's not for everyone, but at the same time, so Prabhupada gave the Krishna book before Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say, we should be reading Bhagavatam from chapter to end, from the first chapter to the third chapter. But then he gave the Krishna book, which is. But the point is, when Krishna, Prabhupada, always gave his purport at the end of the story, he didn't go so detailed, but he explained it. What Krishna, he is. And so the girls from Jilisky, they will understand through reading from Prabhupada's purports. So when you see the deed, it's not just seeing the deed, they have to actually understand the philosophy behind it.
Yeah.
Other people say, Hare Krishna, just going around Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Why are we doing it? Because we understand this is the purpose, and there's a purpose behind it. Yeah. So some of the smarter people in this world, and they're singing, but they also understand the philosophy. Just so I just understand
Krishna. Yeah, generally, same point, Bhagavatam class is for devotees, isn't that right? So this is mostly devotees listening. When you give public classes, you speak from Bhagavatam, give philosophy. But Bhagavatam, you can actually get more philosophy, tell pastimes of Krishna, mix the two together. So your time of present is there. Just a point that came through my head when we were just speaking, it's like about the deities, We can't just treat them like murti, Because I was thinking, the thing that they put on Krishna's head to rest. We don't do that, Just like in the beginning they put it, I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying this is, Prabhupada is so loving, so caring that he's thinking that Krishna's arms are heavy, so he's putting the thing to actually protect him, giving support him. And he said, when we went to India, then we saw that this happens in all the temples, this is the standard. But there is a reason there. When you look at this, then you realize that, it's just not a murti, it is a person. And then if you have darshan of the deities regularly, and if you really pray, you can see the mood of the deities. And the most amazing one, if you really want to understand, is if you look at pictures of Radharamani. Right? If you look at closely you can see different pictures have different number of feet you can see. Sometimes you can see the top feet, sometimes you can see 14, sometimes you can see 1, sometimes you can't see any. Same angle of picture, different pictures. And then I was telling somebody, he said, I can't see it. Then I can see this, I can see 14. So you look at the picture, he's happy. And every time I see it, they put dressing, I was telling him, you know why he's so happy today? The dressing, they put all the nuts on, the almonds and everything, so he's really happy. because you got all these the kids, you know, love it. That's the mood of Radha actually. So yeah, it's Bhagavatam is special in the case for the devotees, so if you can incorporate more. This is what the Goswamis are saying, this is the essence. So if you want to get the maximum, and then you can't just talk this to everybody. But if you can tell it in a way, driving a point, then they'll also appreciate it. Okay. I have to help Prabhupada cook, so I think it's time. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.